Good morning, everyone.
Psalm 104 today.
Let's open with a word of prayer. Father, as we quiet down and we want to hear you, Lord. And we praise your name. We thank you for your awesome word, which you have given us in writing, that we can meditate on it and go back to it over and over again. And so, Lord, here we are today. Really in the third psalm regarding your majesty and your beauty and our desire to praise you, to bless you. And Lord, as we have kind of a poet's view of Genesis in this particular psalm, with touching every aspect of creation, help us to open our hearts to who you are and what all you have done, are doing, and will do, the Eternal One, the Sovereign One. So hear our prayer, hear our song, as we come to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, you are very great. So when I read that, I said, okay, how great thou art. There's where we're going to start. So let's sing along.
O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the world thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed.
Disagree? So one of the things to keep in mind, we're going to go through this psalm, 35 verses, and you're going to see, of course, the creation and God's wisdom behind it, with sea and land and cloud and sunlight, plant and animal, light and darkness, life and death, all express the presence of the Lord. Creation always speaking of the Creator and of a designer, all created with interdependence. So the psalmist begins the same as we had last week. Bless the Lord, O my soul. We were hoping the shrub trimmer would be done by now, but you know, we can have a little noise, testing to see if you can really hear the Lord or not. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, you are very great. So that's it. If you can grasp all that, we don't need to go any further. And if you can, we'll go further. You are clothed with honor and majesty. Picture that. You cover yourself with light as with a garment, who stretch out the heavens like a curtain. I don't know the last time you went into a room that had a drape, like on a sliding glass door or something, it was all dark. You just take that drape and you just open it up. This is what this is like here. He stretches out the heavens like a curtain. He lays the beams of his upper chambers, the atmosphere, in the water. You know, again, that hydrological cycle is so amazing. There's 1.5 trillion, trillion with a T, gallons of water estimated to fall on the earth every day.
Wow.
Every day. And how does it get back up in the air? It gets up in the air through evaporation, and most of the earth's surface is water. So it's always evaporating from the ocean. But God causes weather. God causes wind to blow. So miraculously, it forms into clouds, and he blows the clouds over the land where the water's needed. And with Israel particularly, it was so critical, water in that part of the world, and not too much of it. God had to blow it at the right time for the crops. And when they did not honor him, when they did not obey him, guess what? The wind didn't blow. They didn't get any rain. They got famine after famine after famine after famine. And then they would come to Uncle, really cry out, help! And then he would graciously give them. And then they would go back into that same cycle again. And isn't that the way we are? We had a little thing on vows this week in Jeremiah. And it's just better not to make vows. Because you make vows to the Lord, you won't keep them. Because when do you make vows? It's a kind of a deal, you know. Lord, if you just get me out of this, man, I'll worship you for 27 and a half hours a day for 30 days, and you won't do it. And so don't make vows. Let your yes be yes and your no be no, is what Jesus said. But he lays out the beams of his upper chambers in the water, who makes the clouds his chariot. He walks on the wings of the wind, who makes his angel spirits and his ministers of flame of fire. Now that's talking about angelic spirits, but you know, you're also a minister. Could you see yourself anywhere in the ballpark of being a flame of fire for the Lord? Is your fire burning? How high is it burning? How strong is it burning? Verse 5, you who laid the foundations of the earth. That was one of the questions that, of course, God asked Job, because Job thought he had all the answers. He didn't have any of the answers. You know, this morning, if you look at the horizon, as you know, the sun will come up exactly at that place where it's supposed to come up today. Different place than yesterday, a different place than tomorrow. And every day, until it goes back and forth, back and forth. And it's so precise that man can determine if he's going to shoot a rocket to the moon. He can determine exactly where that moon will be when that rocket gets there, which is kind of helpful. Otherwise, it wouldn't be so good. But that's the preciseness of how God has laid this out. And year after year after year after year, you can look at the tables and see the precise time of the sunrise and the sunset. Isn't it amazing? And we know in the second law of thermodynamics that everything slows down, everything comes to a halt. So God keeps us going, right? And anybody that said, well, he created and he turned his back and left, they don't know what they're talking about. You who laid the foundations of the earth so that it should not be moved forever, you covered it with the deep as with a garment. Initially, the water covered the earth. The water stood above the mountains. At your rebuke, they fled. Listen to this. By the voice of your thunder, they hastened away. They went over the mountains. They went down to the valleys. Do you know how deep the Mariana Strait is? It's the deepest part in the world, east of the Philippines, 35,800 feet deep. That's 7 miles, almost ocean 7 miles deep. So God makes these trenches. Well, I don't want the water level to be so high it drowns all the people in Costa Mesa. So I'll make a big enough trench down here that the water, you see, water doesn't go anywhere. We're not going to run out of water. Because where does the water go? It evaporates. We may run out of at our well, because if we take too much out of our well, then it may not get replenished. But it's not that the rain's going to stop. I don't know who's the pro-climate in this group, but you may disagree with me, but let's be on the Lord's side, and then we won't have any problems, right? They went down to the valleys to the place where you founded for them. You have set a boundary that you may not pass over, that you may not return to cover the earth, that they may not return to cover the earth. He sends the springs into the valleys that flow among the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field. Wild donkeys quench their thirst. By them the birds of the heavens have their home. They sing among the branches. So here's this beautiful picture of life with all these creatures and God taking care of all of them all the time. Isn't that just unbelievable when you think about it? He waters the hills from his upper chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of your works. He causes the grass to grow for the cattle and vegetation for the service of man, that man may bring forth food from the earth and wine that makes glad the heart of man, oil or olive oil to make his face shine, and bread which strengthens man's hearts. The trees of the Lord are full of sap. The cedars of Lebanon, which he planted, where the birds make their nests, the stork has her home in the fir trees. The high hills are for the wild goats. The cliffs are a refuge for the hydrax or the rock badgers. And then we go to space a little bit. He appoints the moon for seasons. The sun knows it's going down, as I mentioned. We've got tables published exactly when sunset will be in each part of the world. You make darkness and it is night, in which all the beasts of the forest creep about. So there's another whole group of life that comes out at night. The young lions roar after their prey and seek their food from God. When the sun rises, they gather together and lie down in their dens. Man goes out to his work and to his labor until the evening. O Lord, how manifold are your works! In wisdom you have made them all. And just think, where there's creation, there's a designer. And anytime you make something, the designer is always smarter than the design. It doesn't go the other way. So as fantastic as the earth is, God is even more fantastic. The earth is full of your possessions, this great and wide sea. I think probably the psalmist is talking about the Mediterranean here, because 1,000 years before Christ, nobody knew about the oceans of the world, I don't believe. But at any rate, we can think of the sea as the ocean, or we can even think of the Mediterranean. The great and wide sea in which are innumerable things, living things both small and great. Where the ships sail about, where is that Leviathan which you have made to play there? We read quite a bit about that in the book of Job. These all wait for you, that you may give them their food in due season. What you give them, they gather in. You open your hand, and they are filled with good. You hide your face, they are troubled. You take away their breath, they die and return to their dust. You send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the earth. Then he closes, going back into praise again. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works. When's the last time you prayed that? That the glory of the Lord would endure forever, and that the Lord would rejoice in his works. He looks on the earth and it trembles. He touches the hills and they smoke. And then there's three I wills here that are really outstanding. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. Amen. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. Amen. May my meditation be sweet to him. I will be glad in the Lord. Does that fit you? Maybe you should carry a mirror with you. How's your face look? I will be glad in the Lord. May sinners be consumed from the earth. So whatever defilement is there, God has to take it away for heaven to be heaven. So that will be done. Sinners be consumed from the earth and the wicked be no more. That will happen. And then ending as it began, bless the Lord. O my soul, praise the Lord. Or that last three words really is a definition of the Hebrew word hallelujah. So you can say hallelujah if you'd rather say that than praise the Lord, and that's very accurate. Father, we thank you for your word, and we can't even express how great you are, how awesome you are, but we thank you, and to know that we're created in your image and will be with you forever because of what you've done for us. You have bought us out of the slavery market of sin forever. You have sealed us. You will complete your good work in us. Oh, Lord. And we pray for the unsaved today, Lord. You know who they are. We pray that they would be released from their bondage and they would come to you. So, Lord, guide us now as we have these moments to pray together. I thank you for each one who faithfully comes and is here to pray. And we know each one's prayer is just the same as we respond to you, Holy Spirit, as you lead us and guide us. So may we pray now in accordance with that, in Jesus' name.